Take notes, everybody.
All right. Well, first of all, I want to thank you for inviting us. I am mobile, so I'm hoping that everything runs smoothly. I know Allie is on as well with Merchant Advocate, one of our heads of business development. If you want to use the chat bar, she'll be sending me some texts on any questions coming up. So appreciate your time. I think the first thing, and I'm still getting some feedback, but hopefully we're going to mute out there. All right. So we're going to talk a little bit about the credit card processing industry. I am the CEO of Merchant Advocate. I am going to start off by telling you I am not a credit card processor. We're not going to try to get you to switch credit card processors. If you're on this phone and you're running a dealership, you know how many times you get the calls of switch to me, I'm better, I'm cheaper, right? That's not us. We absolutely do not switch merchant processors. We come in and help you audit, analyze, and optimize your current merchant processing relationship so that you don't have to change anything, okay? I was just going to pause because I think someone's still off mute. All right, so I've been around the industry for about 25 years.
Eric, I've got some feedback on somebody that's on a phone call that I cannot mute. So if you guys are on a phone call and trying to dial in, if you could turn your speaker off, I would appreciate it.
I think that was it.
Thank you.
All right. I've done conference calls where I heard myself after I talked. That was really interesting. So, but anyway, I've been in the processing world for about 25 years. I used to be a processor. About 16 years ago, I started Merchant Advocate because I saw a hole in the industry. I basically saw that once you sign up, the reps usually disappear, very little customer service, rates continue to go up, coding changes, Visa, MasterCard change rates, which just happened April 23rd. Big flag there, guys. There's a lot of changes coming to costs. And I really saw that there was no advocate, no one sitting next to you, the business owner or the manager or someone that has to deal with the credit card processing. And then you get all these people coming in saying, switch, we're better, we're cheaper, and you switch, and then the rates go up. So I saw that this was an unregulated industry, right? So one of the most important things is this is not regulated. There's no license to sell credit card processing. The banks are regulated, but Visa, MasterCard, on the right side of the equation with all the processors, there's no regulations. They did regulate the bank side in what's called interchange, but that is being manipulated as well, which I'll get into here in a little while. And one thing you'll notice, if anyone on the phone has ever tried to read a merchant statement, they're written in a foreign language, right? And it's done on purpose. When I first started in the business, there was three rates, qualified, mid-qualified, non-qualified. Now there's 600, actually probably close to 800 rates. And there's all sorts of different reasons that you're getting those rates, right? So very important to understand that. And that's probably one of the most important things we do is look at how your transactions are coming through. The other thing that's interesting is processors are now raising their rates. This is actually an older slide, 2 to 3 times a year. We're now seeing 3 to 4 times a year. So while Visa, MasterCard raise rates every April and every October, the credit card processors are now padding those increases. And we're seeing this past one, like the rest of the world, inflation, things going up, it's everyone thinks costing more. We're now seeing anywhere from 0.25% to 1% increase from the processor. And you won't see that till June. A lot of it happened end of April, beginning of May. So you'll see that when your May statement comes out. Even the most accredited financial institutions are making errors, right? Because when Visa, MasterCard change things, they have to reprogram everything. I could share with you an example. Chase Bank owns Chase Payment Tech. They made a mistake about a year and a half ago when interchange changed, when Visa, MasterCard changed their hard costs. They made a mistake in the coding. All of their non-for-profits no longer got special rates for being a non-for-profit. And that's one thing that we do is not only do we help you lower your overall cost, we monitor it on a monthly basis, okay? What most people are unaware of is how many people actually touch your transaction, right? So the customer comes in, they make a purchase, and that either goes to a credit card machine or a gateway, right? If you're integrated into a dealer management system, it's could be a machine, could be a gateway. But from there, it goes to a processor. Well, the processor then sends it through Visa, MasterCard, American Express, or Discover, and it goes to what's called the issuing bank, which is the bank on someone's credit card, and then ultimately they bill the customer. The reason I'm showing you this slide is every single person that touches the transaction, okay, they earn a piece of every transaction. There's a minimum of 4 and most likely up to 8 different businesses that'll earn a little piece of what you pay every single month. Okay. And a lot of people come in and they look at price, but it's really important to know the difference between price and cost. Okay? There's a lot of lost leaders. Someone will come in and say, hey, our rate's 1.7%, but they forget to tell you about the non-qual and the special fee over here and the association fee and everything else that goes into it. We've heard this over and over and over where people think they're paying 1.5 or 1.7% all in. And then when we do the math, it's upwards of 3% sometimes. It's really also important, who is your salesperson, right? Do you process with your bank? Well, if you process with your bank, chances are they're not the processor. A lot of them use First Data on the back end. You know, Chase Payment Tech is probably one of the only banks that have their own processing. A lot of other ones use Fiserv, First Data, some of the other larger ones out there like Worldpay. We also hear all the time, yeah, I'm okay. My rate's fine. My friend sent me up. And I can tell you that 80% of the time we hear that, people are paying too much. And it's unfortunate, but a lot of times when a friend sets you up, we don't blame the friend. It's a friend referring to a processor, and all of a sudden they don't know about certain rates. If you are in software, in other words, if you're in the dealer management software, you know, there's an, you know, I know Reynolds and Reynolds is out there. I also know that there's a couple other dealer management softwares out there that people are using that are integrate into credit card processing. Very important to look at the rates. Reason being is a lot of these back end systems actually get a piece of the profit. And then if you're a direct processor or, you know, there's things called ISOs, which are independent sales organization or a sub ISO or an agent, you really want to understand who's involved in the transaction and how many people are touching the actual flow of money. Okay. What we are seeing more and more is people are trying to simplify things, but when they simplify statements, they leave out a lot of information that you should have. We're now seeing a lot of flat rate models and, you know, those are the worst models because you don't have the proper data. Okay. Also, if you ever change processors, what they'll do is they'll say, hey, we saved you $500 or we saved you $2,000 a month. But generally, they don't come back and report savings every month. And there's price creep, right? It continues to go up. In fact, one major processor changed their structures from what's called a pass-through to a simplified pass-through. And the pitch was that it's going to be simpler for you to see everything. What they forgot to tell everyone is the cost is going to go up. Other thing is not every account is created equal. Okay. There's things that are coding and optimization. For example, are you set up correctly with the proper SIC or merchant category codes? That makes a difference, right? Are you set up for swipe versus keyed? What's your percentage of swipe versus keyed? And we all know that, you know, a hand key transaction does cost more, but sometimes there's an additional penalty upwards of 1% on top of all the other rates. Now, the coding and optimization that happens is really set up by the sales agent or data entry. And if we've seen time and over and over and over again where someone's supposed to be set up as an automobile dealer, in your cases, retail, swiped, and someone missed a keystroke by accident. It does happen. And all their transactions started downgrading because they were coded wrong on the back end. The other thing that's important is if you hear the word interchange, interchange is the fixed cost of accepting credit cards. And some of you might be on a interchange pass-through pricing where your sales rep or your bank or your processor will come in and say, yeah, interchange is fixed. You can't negotiate it. Well, it's true. You can't negotiate interchange, but you could optimize it. So for example, in dealerships, we see there are sometimes business cards used or corporate cards used. Right? It's a small percentage, but we've seen upwards of 15% of volume be corporate cards. Whether someone should be using their business card or not is another story, but those cards have 4 different rates attached to it. there's ways to optimize those. The other thing you could do in optimize is when you're hand keying transactions, if it's not put through properly or there's a problem with authorization, you're going to start getting surcharged. Okay. So there are ways to optimize interchange that most people are unaware of. And it's also important is how are you processing? One thing that everyone on the phone should have in their dealerships by now is the chip readers. If you do not have chip readers, your cost went up August or April 23rd. Visa actually increased rates for non-EMV chip, you know, swipers. So the old school swipers. And again, if you are integrated, great. If you're not integrated, there is a reason to integrate into some of these dealer management systems, but you have to be careful. I think one of the larger ones, not Reynolds and Reynolds, there's I forgot the name of it. There is another system that's very large that is popular. They use a connection through a company called Global. If you go through that connection, you're going to pay a lot more than if you go through one of their other connections. And again, part of that game is some of the dealer management systems do get a piece of the transaction and they have preferred processors. And they don't tell you that there's other ways to connect and integrate into a system. If you're not integrated and you're just using a standalone terminal or a terminal connected to a virtual terminal, there's different reasons depending on the type of cards that you take of why you should be set up with a terminal versus a gateway. Okay. And that's a lot of what Merchant Advocate does. Remember, I'm completely agnostic. We're not here to change your processing. Our whole goal is, can we save you money by optimizing these things? And if we do, we share in the savings for a period of time and watch your account. If we can't save you money, we will then shake your hand and simply walk away and give you third-party validation that you don't need us, okay? But this is one of my favorite slides, right? So I don't know how many of you actually read the merchant statement, but I wanted to pull up, this is what some merchant statements look like. And the reason I put some red box around here, you'll see in this first red box and second red box, it appears that these are actual Visa MasterCard costs, but these are not the published rates. These are marked up rates. Now, we have technology that reads the statement, does the math, does the calculations, and will flag us and say, okay, there's an increase here or a padded fee here. One of my favorite parts about this slide is this middle section right here that says credit, US credit. These were refunds, okay? Now you notice on the refund, they got charged. This merchant got charged not only on the sale, but on the refund. These numbers are supposed to be negative numbers and they're positive numbers. This 3322 is also supposed to be a negative number. And then there is another fee down here that says discount expense for credits. That doesn't exist anywhere in Visa MasterCard's language. It's the processor, which is legal. Guys, processors can name a fee or make up a fee however they want, as long as they give you 30 days notice on the bottom of a merchant statement, right? And that's really important. It's just because you signed up for a rate doesn't mean you're getting that same rate today. It is legal. It is guidelines. As long as they send you a statement message, which no one usually reads because they're so complicated, they could raise the rates or add a fee to whatever they want the following month, okay? There are ways to avoid that. But here's another example of an error that we found. This was a major bank that back-ended on First Data. You could see the arrow pointing. There was no volume, but on no volume, they got charged $228.95. It was a math error. It was not malicious. It was something in the coding at the back end, but there was no transactions and they still got billed. So if you don't have someone reading every single line item, looking at these things, it's impossible to catch any kind of mistake. Right. And that's, again, over the last 16 years, we actually built technology. We used to do all this by hand. Over the last number of years, we built technology that we own the IP on, where it'll scan every single line item on just about every statement that's out there and come up and flag these things. Okay. So this one was actually fairly large. This was the other thing is, I believe the other yellow rewards one, I think there's a math error is there as well. Right. So moving along, here's a good example where we negotiated a rate in February. These were inflated rates. The negotiation rates were good through April, but then come July, rates went up again. And again, if you're sitting there saying, how is it legal, right? When you have an unregulated industry, right, which most people don't understand, and I'm not even talking about business owners. We were watching the congressional hearings about a week ago on Visa, MasterCard, and I was listening there, and I had to shut it off. They were, the whole conversation, they were missing the fact that the credit card processors set the rate, not Visa, MasterCard, not the issuing banks. Those guys set the base rate, but the markup and how it's manipulated is set by the processors. There was not one word of a credit card processor. It was all about how bad Visa, MasterCard is and the banks. No one was talking about the processors, right? But it is very, very common for rates to go up and a little bit of padding here and there. Okay. This is a Mercedes dealer. Actually, it's on the Northeast. We saved this company hundreds of thousands of dollars. There was multiple dealers. We negotiated the rates, and we also implemented a new pricing program as well. Now, not everyone's saving is going to be that great. It depends on volume. It depends on where you're priced now. Typically, our savings is 20 to 30%. If we could save you money. Like I said, so there are times, there's about 10% or 15% of the time where we can't save you money. And even someone that has a good rate, right? So, you know, we looked at Aileen's rate and fantastic job, phenomenal. Everything was great, but there was little things that added up to thousands and thousands of dollars a year. So even if you are a great negotiator and you put that together, there's all these little hidden fees that'll creep up. We had another New Jersey auto dealer. We saw they were getting a technology security fee and an EMV fee that was almost a third of a percent. We got it waived. Now, it's not that you guys on the phone, if you call your processor, can you get things waived or can you get things brought down? Yes. But if you don't know that something shouldn't be there, it's really hard to tell them that it should be zero. The gross savings to date, this client's been on our books probably 2 to 3 years, 2.5 years, over $133,000, in savings to date and continuing to grow each month. And again, fixing it's one thing, but monitoring every month is just as important. Right? And that's why we call it, you know, a credit card processor is really your silent equity partner, right? Now, obviously they don't have equity in your business, but it's important to audit them, monitor them, and make sure. A big thing is you got to make sure you're PCI compliant. We are now seeing fees of upwards of $150 a month as a penalty for not being compliant. And it protects you from breaches, right? So if you do get breached and you're not compliant, it's kind of hard to push back on it. Okay. Before I get into questions, and I'm going to actually probably do this so I can see you guys. Okay, so now I can see everyone. One of the other things that's really important, and I know in California there is some rules and regulations about cash discounting and surcharging, so I don't want to get too deep into those. If rules change and laws change, you'll start seeing, I mean, on the East Coast here, every restaurant is surcharging for use of credit cards, okay? If rules change and you guys are allowed to do that in California, or there's some things that are being talked about with cash discounting versus surcharging, there's the right way to do it and the wrong way to do it. And it's really important because you don't want to get fined from Visa, MasterCard. Okay. You know, that's pretty much what a lot of what I wanted to go through. I think the biggest thing is, and you'll see in the chat bar, Allie, who's been with me from day one in the company, started out here on the East Coast, actually working inside the company, and now is out in business development, is absolutely fantastic. Her contact information is there. In fact, Allie, you should put your cell phone number there as well. You know, the way our system works is this: if some of this is piquing your interest and you think that, you know, we should take a look, I can tell you, we do not even ask you for an agreement up front. We do a no cost, no obligation. We'll take a look at your statements. And if there's room, in other words, if I can save you $800 a year, I'm just going to tell you how to do it, right? That's not going to make it or break anyone. But if there's room for savings, 20%, 15%, after we do an initial analysis, then we'll come to you and say, hey, we need to engage. We have a simple one-page agreement. It's a percentage of savings for a period of time. Very, very simple. Things as simple as possible. Usually it's a 50-50 agreement. However, with associations and groups like this, we usually give a discount. We usually do more like we'll probably wind up doing, Allie, I think it was a 60-40 as we move forward, where you get to keep 60% of the savings. And it's because it's a group, an association. So we want you to get something better than what we normally do. But normally it's a 40% to us for a period of 3 years. After 3 years, we go month to month. And I can tell you that 90% of our clients stay with us because we continue to find mistakes, errors, continue to increase the savings. You know, we do have some clients that after 3 years go away, and then ultimately they come back 6 months later because something happens, or they have a handle on it at that point. So there are different things that could happen there. So that's pretty much the presentation. We are here to help you. I guess I could tell you, over the last 16 years, we have now saved $250 million for our customers. Some of the largest dealerships in the country use us as payment experts. And, you know, if you ever need a referral, we could get that. I don't really mention names, and you'll see on my website, I don't have hundreds of people on the website because I don't believe in sharing everyone's information. But again, we're here to help you guys. If there is savings, there's money that goes back into your pocket and in the dealership's pocket, it really belongs there and not to a sales rep that's making too much on your accounts. So at this point, I'm going to pause. And if you want to use the chat bar, I can now see it. Or if you want to unmute yourself to ask a question, we could kind of keep this as an open forum, if that's okay. Any questions? Okay, so how do fees compare on newer payment technologies like Apple and Google Pay? Okay, so Apple and Google Pay is interesting. There's two different ways to talk about Apple and Google Pay. One is it swiped or not swiped, but is it like a near, it's called an NFT, near field technology, right? So you can take a phone, run your phone over a reader, or there's a QR code. That is secure. That's as secure as a chip reader. It's no more or no less secure. It's fine. It runs as a retail swiped transaction. Okay. If you're talking about Apple and Google Pay off your website, there's very few people that can do that at this point. You have to have the right gateway, but the technology is good. It doesn't change your, if you're doing an EMV chip or you're doing Apple Pay and Google Pay, it's the same risk. In other words, on chargebacks, things like that. It's also the same price at this point. Do I see, and going along that line, do I see other technologies coming? Yep, Venmo's coming, but they're charging fees now. You know, we all know the world of Bitcoin's out there. Not really convinced that that's going to come anytime soon across the major retailers, but we'll see what happens. But yeah, it is very, very safe to use Apple and Google Pay, but it does not affect your pricing. It's not going to bring it down. Okay. Any other questions that I can answer? Wow, we got a quiet group. Okay.
I actually have a question, and I'm right. A better talker than typer. So we're a General Motors dealership, and General Motors is demanding that we take payments online. And even though our processor set something up, but we don't really have any say-so about doing online payments. We never used to take online payments. Everything, we wanted the card here at the store. And now we're finding more and more that they want us to hand key stuff in, or they want to take online payments. Is there a way, or is it the same kind of way that you regulate the online payments as you do as if the guy came in and swiped the card?
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of things that are really important. And I will tell you this, we are agnostic. I will tell you that if someone's looking for a processor, we run RFPs for companies, okay? And we'll find you the right one. So there are some that are good, some are bad. We're completely agnostic in it. But if you're out there shopping and you're running an RFP, we actually will manage that for you. What's important there when you set up online is who are you setting up with, right? So is the processor setting you up with a pay now button, meaning they have their own in-house gateway, right? A gateway is what the pay now button on your website talks to the processor through a gateway. Okay. If you're using authorized.net, oldest gateway in the country, probably wouldn't use them anymore. There's nothing wrong with them, but there is some limitation. You want to make sure it's set up correctly. In other words, if someone, you have to have them enter a zip code, you want to enter a street number, and you want the CVV2 code, always. So the question becomes, when you set your gateway up, if it's a mismatched zip code or mismatched CVV2 code, are you just getting flagged and letting the transaction go through, or are you declining it? Okay, now, if you decline it, then the customer has to figure it out, run it back, and get the right information, and you have friction with your customer, okay? Not the greatest thing to have friction, but it saves you from a chargeback. It's called a risk, the risk flags, right, and risk tolerances. So if you don't have those set up and they're just a warning, let's say it's the wrong zip code. First of all, the wrong zip code is going to cost you 1% more, okay, as of April 23rd. If you let the transaction go through with wrong zip code or wrong CV2 and they charge it back, you lose, no questions asked. You don't even get a chance. So if I were you, I'm thinking about on a car dealership, I would probably set my risk flags at decline anything with the wrong zip code or wrong CVV2 because they're customers of yours. Now, if they're, you know, because that's a possible fraud, right? I'm dealing with Major League Baseball and tickets.com. I'm actually working with a couple baseball teams and they have that issue where it's letting things go through with wrong zip codes. The filters are set up wrong or they're not set up. If they're not set up, the bank, not the customer, the bank can find out, the issuing bank, and actually do a bank chargeback on you without the customer even knowing that there was a chargeback. So I don't have a problem with it. I will tell you that it's about a third of a point more, 30 basis points, 40 basis points, which is worth it. It's worth the ease and you could send invoices out. You could do a number of things online. But if you do have it incorrect, now we're talking 1.3 to 1.5 more for hand keyed versus swiped. But again, the world's going virtual. We already know that it's happening. People hate seeing face-to-face. I don't understand why. I mean, I wish we could all get together in a group all the time. But I think it's okay to do e-commerce. But I would definitely make sure your risks, and we'll help you with that, right? That's part of, you know, there are things that we do, right? We're contingent based on savings. But we're also a consultant. I'm never going to sit here and say, don't ask me a question because, you know, I have to charge you hourly. I do not charge hourly. I do not charge consulting fees. Unless someone wants me to run a massive RFP for 10 locations, that's a different story. But if you bring us on and we can save you money, you have access to Ali and we have 30 analysts in-house. You have access to my entire team for questions. If we look at your statements and we can't save you money and you're not a customer, you also have access to us, right? Now, if I look at your statements and there's plenty of money and you decide not to move forward, all right, then that's a different conversation of why didn't you want us to help? But if, you know, I don't want you to think that, well, if I look at, you know, if there's no savings, I can't call. No, we're here to help you guys. I built this business on karma, doing the right thing. You know, I made a lot of money in credit card processing. It was easier to make money, but I also have three kids that I wanted to leave a legacy of doing something good rather than just making money. And that's the whole philosophy behind Merchant Advocate. That's why it grew so quick. So if there's questions, let us know what they are because we know we could point you in the right direction. Make sense? Okay. I think,
let's see if there's any other questions.
Yep, no problem. You know, and I know we may, Ali will talk to you about, you know, coming to events and being available and webinars. We have white papers. We actually are putting a whole article together about this last increase. We're full of information. But again, you know, I'd love to work with everyone on the phone. There's really no downside to this. It is found money, or at least have us do a discovery of your what's going on now. If you do have to switch, I always tell people, just let us know before you do anything so you don't get wrapped right into the wrong contract.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. Yep. Okay. Anybody have any questions? I know we're all muted.
Best way to reach you and get an analysis. So if you look on the chat bar, you should see Ali's cell phone number. And her email, alubart@merchantadvocate. It's ALUBART@merchantadvocate. And Aileen, can you actually send this to the group, her information as well? Because some people are not on screen.
Yes.
All you need to do is send her 1 or 2 month statements or call her cell phone, have an initial call first. Whatever you want to do. If you have more questions, obviously she'll be more than willing to talk to you. Otherwise, I only need 1 or 2 month statements. I take those statements. We do a quick analysis. 2 to 3 days later, we're going to come back to you and say, you know what? You need us. Here's how our engagement letter works. Or we're going to shake your hand and say, you don't need us. Okay.
Okay. Anybody else? Right. This was a quick meeting.
Okay. Well, we like to keep things simple. I mean, you know, simple, give people time back in their days. And I mean, you guys are still at 4:30 on the West Coast. So please reach out to us when you have
a wine break.
Wine break. All right.
Yeah. Do you want to mention a little bit of you know, how the engagement worked once you signed an agreement and what we did recently working with you guys, since we have a little extra time?
Allie, who are you asking that to?
Alin.
So I'm sorry, say it again.
I just, you know, since we have a little extra time, do you want to, you know, talk a little bit about how the process worked with, you know, when we worked with your dealership and
sure. So basically, so she reached out to me and asked me if we were interested as an Adoma group to use her services. And the more we talked, I'm just like, let me think about this. And she told me what they do. So I went to Tom and I said, hey, can I send them our stuff and let them look at it? And they came back and said that we actually have really great rates. But there's a little bit of areas that we can tweak, and just those few areas is going to save us quite a bit of money. One of them is, and I don't even know if all of you guys have it, but you have parts people that have a charge, and then they at the end of the month or 60 days later they charge on their American Express card or their Visa card, and now this is a hand keyed thing, and it's not, you know, swiped, and it's, you know, $60,000. I mean, we don't let anybody charge $60,000 on a credit card normally, but parts and service seems to think that it's not a big deal. And those were the areas where we could do most of our savings. The hand keyed stuff. The other thing that they told me that my people weren't doing where they're not putting in the zip codes. So we're charged the higher rates. So it's just a few little things that, we weren't doing. Our processor did a great job on our rates, so it wasn't really a rate thing. It was more of a how we are processing our stuff, what we're doing. So it was a very easy, like I said, I sent her a couple of statements, and she came back and said, this is what we can do. And then I spoke with Eric, and he kind of went through what they were looking at and explained it to me. And I just went like, wow, I don't even understand a word you're saying. And there we went. So, I mean, I've looked at my credit card statement. Oh, glad we have great rates. Me too, Chris. I look at my statement, I look at it every month, but I, like he said, I don't know what I'm looking at or looking for. And that's what they do. So it's like, I'll send them my statement now and they'll say, hey, what are you guys doing? Or what are you not doing? And unfortunately for me, I'm glad nobody's here from Reynolds and Reynolds. My dealer signed up with RayPay, and I have to change my processor, and I'm not happy. And they signed up about 3 months ago, and I still haven't changed. So if I can hold off as long as I can, but now these guys say, hey, let us look at the new company and see what the rates are. And they're going to give us the tools, or reach out to them and say, okay, this is what you guys, you know, this is what they should be doing for us. So it's been a very easy process. I don't think anybody has anything to lose just by sending them your statement. Again, they might tell you, just like they told me, you guys have great rates. And it's just tweaking a little bit of different things to to change, and it was fairly simple.
Yep. And, you know, I think you were telling me before, you know, I mentioned the cash discount and surcharge. California has rules against that, correct? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. It's been kind of a pain point everywhere else. So we'll see. People are making a lot of money and doing it, and it's just, it's becoming a little bit of a nightmare. But so I'm glad you guys don't have to deal with that right now. But,
we could charge it on something. Yeah. What do you guys know about WorldPay? Are they any good
processes? What do I think about WorldPay? Yep. If you have us on your side, I think they're great. If you don't, WorldPay, here's the problem I have with WorldPay. I like them as a company. The problem is WorldPay has changed names, right? So it used to be WorldPay, then went to Vantiv, and now it's Fiserv or FIS, right?
Yes.
The last purchase was $40 billion. Who do you think paid for it? You guys. So what they did is they raised the rates. Now, they didn't raise your base rate. You could have fantastic base rates, but in the middle of your statement in the fine print that you're never going to uncover, there's rates and fees that appear to be real. They appear to be real Visa, MasterCard fees. They're not. There's padded fees. Now, you might be lucky. There's about 15% of the time we see WorldPay where we can't find savings, but it's only 15% of the time. Okay. Yeah. So, and I see some more questions I'll get to,
when you see these fake charges, what do you tell them? We're not going to let you charge us, or how do you handle that?
Yeah. So some of these padded fees, they're going to say that they'll get rid of some of the padded fees. They'll reduce some of the padded fees. They're saying that's cost of doing business. And Chris, thank you. It is FIS. It's names have changed so many times in this industry. It's kind of crazy. You know, so some of these fees, right? So if you're paying an extra 1% and it's a padded fee and we get it down to zero, great. If we get it down to a quarter point, okay. If we get it, you know, if let's say you're paying an extra $3,000 a month and they won't get rid of it, you might say to us, go find me someone else, right? There is a possibility that conversation happens. Unfortunately, it's who we get on the phone, who signed you up, where WorldPay decided to go with it. What platform are you on WorldPay? So what's interesting now is we have some people, we have quite a few clients that are on an old platform on WorldPay. And we have a inside sales rep at WorldPay that says, hey, if they're willing to move on to the new platform, we'll give them a new merchant number and the best rates out there, right? They're looking to convert people to their newer platform. You know, but again, it's who signed you up, how long. We've seen some really competitive, but generally not so competitive. Okay. So the other thing that I could tell you, someone else asked a question. We do business with the county. It's a hand key transaction with your county. Chances are it's a corporate card or purchasing card or business card. Okay. If that's the case, depending on how your system is set up, will depend on the rates. A corporate card or purchasing card can be as high as 3.15. It's a standard non-qualified rate, down to 2.9, all the way down to 1.9%, depending on the card. If it's a large ticket, meaning over 10,000, and it's a purchasing card, it could go down even further, right? So again, that's something that we'll see. Patty, if you send your statement over, it's something that we'll look at your statement. We'll be identifying which card it is. We can see the category that it comes across. You know, governments, actually, you don't have to really worry about chargebacks on that issue, but you do have to, the rates can vary from as low on a large ticket, as low as about 1.5% with a transaction fee of $35, but a very, very low rate, all the way up to 3.15% and 10 cents. Same card. Same transaction. It's what data is flowing through the system, and are you getting fully optimized? Okay. Any other questions?
Did we get it through Comerica? Comerica uses WorldPay or FIS?
Yes, Comerica uses WorldPay. Yep. They are on an older platform usually.
Yeah, old.
Yep. Yeah, that's something. You guys said it went again. It's all, you know, you could be in a good scenario. Don't know until we see a statement, right? The nice thing is about Merchant Advocate is the more we save you, the more we make. Different than processors, right? There are some very ethical processors out there. You know, you had one over at Thompson, I believe. And Thompson, is that right? Did I get that right? Kayla? Yeah. You're on mute.
Sorry. Yeah. Thorson. I'm at Thorson.
I'm sorry, Thorson. Yeah, so
that's okay.
I mean, whoever your processor was, phenomenal. Great job, treated you right. And there are some very ethical people out there in the processing world. It's not the norm, unfortunately.
Right.
Okay. So again, if you have someone and you were lucky enough to find someone that actually takes care of people and treats people the way they should, then you're going to be okay. But it all starts out. And if you send us a statement, those things, you know, we will know. I won't know that it's a government card per se, but I'll know if it's a purchasing card, business card, corporate card. It doesn't matter whether it's a government well, if you do a lot of government business, there is a way to set it up differently. But generally, if it's a one-off card, we just want to make sure it's optimized. Okay. Any other questions?
Kathy, did you guys have any more questions?
No, it's very, very interesting. Yeah, we'll be sending them some statements. Check it out.
Okay. All right. Great. Make sure everybody that was on the call gets the information for Allie. And then this presentation will be, they're going to send me the presentation and it will be posted on the Adoma website. So you could always go back in and get it there.
Yes, Patty, by the way, one more question. We do want to know that you know, where you came from, right? So we make sure you get the 60/40. So when you talk to Allie, I mean, she'll have the list of people that are on the call as well, but please let her know that you're with the association in this group. And that way we could tag it correctly. That'd be great.
I have one last question. Mm-hmm. We're using Comerica, and Comerica suggests that we use their payment processing or what have you. In our situation, what would you recommend? How do I even go out there to look for a processing?
Well,
and still use Bank of America, still use Comerica as the main bank.
That would be our deposit place, Comerica.
Right. So Comerica is your bank, but they partner with Worldpay. So before you go look for a processor, the path to least resistance is, can I get your rates down to where they should be and monitor the account and you don't have to make a change, right? I mean, that's the easiest way to do it. If they won't do it, here's what I'll tell you. I've done some very large RFPs, request for proposal, like NASCAR, Tao Restaurant Group, Great Wolf Lodge, right? Are three of my larger ones. The reason I say that is I have five or six processors that tomorrow would give any of my clients the lowest rate out there. Again, I'm agnostic, right? I don't make money on the processing. I'm completely agnostic. But they all know my style. They know that, hey, I'm about low cost. I'm about not padding fees. You know, they're always looking for more business. And all of a sudden, we did these very large scale RFPs and they're coming to Merchant Advocate going, what else you got, right? And they know that 95% of my businesses never leave their processor. 95% stay because I could get them what they need to get, okay? Mm-hmm. But that's step one is we send the statement, we look at it. If you need help, we sign an agreement, we go to work. If I come back to you and say, listen, there's $3,000 a month in savings and they're only giving you $1,000 of it, we go back for a second round and they're still not giving in, then you got to make a business decision of, do you want to switch processors and is $2,000 a month worth it, right? To some businesses, it's a huge number. There's other businesses that may do 5, 10, 15 million a year and they're going, yeah, it's fine. We got some savings. Let's go back after 6 months and try to get some more.
Okay.
So I think I don't see any other questions here.
Me neither.
So, you know, appreciate everyone's time. Again, we're really here to help you see if there's something that we could do. Allie is unbelievable. She'll make sure everything's done. Cross T's, dot I's. I mean, she really does have an unbelievable talent with Merchant Advocate and been with me for a very long time. You know, I wanted to jump on this call to get to meet everyone, but you're in great hands with her and, you know, appreciate your time. Look forward to helping you guys.